There's somebody hearing my voice this morning. You've been having trouble with fibroids for a while now. You've been in and out of the hospital. You've talked to God. This morning, in the name of Jesus Christ, I declare that that fibroid is gone out of your body forever. In the name of our Lord Jesus. See, there's anyone else here that's been struggling with one physical sickness or the other, I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. And I cause it to leave you in the name of Jesus. If there's anything else you've been believing God for, asking the Lord for a miracle comes to you now in the name of Jesus. Can you lift up your hands and say, thank you, Jesus? If you have a friend, if you have a family member that's not here and you are trusting God for a miracle in their lives, can you lift up your hand and speak those words of healing? Speak those words of power. Speak those words of deliverance in the name of Jesus. Speak those words of deliverance to everyone that comes to your mind right now. If you had a friend that you've been praying together for a miracle, that miracle comes to you now in the name of Jesus. Blessed be your name, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Father, we thank you for your word. The fathers told us that you are good and your mercies endure forever. Your children are here to live out that testimony so that our children will have stories to tell their children that you are good and your mercies endure forever. Blessed be your name, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Praise Jesus. Thank you. God bless you. Do you have your... Praise the Lord. Lift up your Bibles, lift up your hands, your phone, whatever it is that you used to study and pray and read the Word of God, lift it up right now and say with me, I solemnly declare. Stay with me. I solemnly declare that I believe the Bible, that I believe the Word of God. Thank you. Why it's important for us to say that to me is because we start speaking and talking about the scriptures, quoting Bible here and there. If you do not believe it, it means nothing, right? But if you're also here and you still don't really believe the Bible, it's okay. I believe strongly that in the next few minutes, you will develop a belief for the Word of God in your heart. Can you say amen? I believe that everyone... You left your homes, came here to be blessed, and you will be blessed in the name of our Lord Jesus. I believe that. And if you listen to this sermon, you are not blessed. Well, there's something you can do for me. Just something small you can do for me. You listen to this sermon and all the sermons that have been preached in the past couple of weeks, and you still have not been blessed. Small thing. You do something small for me. After the service, as you drive out, take a detour to your right, another turn to your right, you see a road called I-17. A short drive on that road, you get to somewhere called Flagstaff. You get to Flagstaff. There's one, it's a short drive. There's one big mountain when you get to Flagstaff. Very big. Just park, take a short hike on top of that mountain. You get to the mountain, you lift your voice. Say, God! Eli, Eli, la masa baktani. Do you know what that means? If you don't know what that means, you need to be on that mountain praying every day. Because I've listened through all of the messages that have been preached here, and I have been blessed, and mostly this topic of faith has been discussed. And if you feel nothing about those messages, I don't know. But This morning, we will be talking about the audacity of faith. And walking through the audacity of faith, we will discuss belief, how you speak about faith, and the actions that you take in the journey of faith. And I pray that you open your heart to receive what God has prepared for you, because I don't want you to drive all this way to church and not receive the full benefit of his word that he has given to us. All right? Also, I would like to say that there would not be an altar call after the message. So while I preach, if the Lord touches you, you feel the power of God in your life, open your mouth and shout, thank him, pray, receive your miracle. When I'm done preaching, home, no altar calls. All right, so please, as much as you can receive it now. The Bible makes us understand that he sent his word and it healed their diseases. He didn't send his word then after pray for the. It's the word of God that comes to you that causes a change in your life. So as you hear the scriptures, as you hear the word of God, open your mouth, open your heart, and receive what God has prepared for you. Right? So this morning, we will be talking about the audacity of faith. And we'll pick our text from the book of Mark 11, 22 to 24. And I would like for all of us to read it. So, can you hear me clearly? Can everyone hear me clearly? Excellent. I would like for every one of us to read it. So, if you can, open your Bibles to the book of Mark 11, 22 to 24. And thank you, it's already on the screen. So, if you do not have your Bible, fasten your eyes to the screen as we read together. Are you ready? You ready? It was a question. Everybody's cool. Do what happened? You're expecting? No, nothing like that. Please feel free to express yourself. Are you ready? All right. So Mark 11 from verse 22. Can we read together? And Jesus answering unto them, have faith. And Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. Verse 23, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Verse 24. Let's take it again. Verse 24. Therefore, I say unto you. And ye shall have them. Many years ago, when I was in university, doing my first degree, I attended a church that had a wonderful pastor. And the pastor was so known for doing a lot of mighty works that one of his students brought his mom to school and said, Pastor, my mom has arthritis. Can you pray for her? And the pastor looked at her and said, Mama, you are healed. Go home. Do you know what the woman said? She said, Pastor, you don't understand. My arthritis is very, very tough. I've had it for so many years. My fingers hurt. My legs hurt. I can't sleep. So the pastor said, wow, I'm so sorry. I did not know. Do you know what we would do? You go home. We'll fast for 21 days. We'll pray. 21 days prayer and fasting. Every midnight, you get up and you tell the arthritis, I rebuke you. I rebuke you. I rebuke you. 21 days. Come back in the 21st day and we'll pray again. And the woman went, did everything the pastor said. 21st day, she showed up
And as she showed up, the pastor jumped up and said, yes, you are ready now. Receive your healing. And the woman said, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed. And they prayed and they celebrated and everybody was jumping as she left. The following Sunday, as he was preaching, he said, she received her healing the very first time she showed up. But because she did not believe that you can just be healed without drama, it took her 21 days to get it to show on her body. So the first thing we'll be talking about today is belief. I understand that many of us have different types of backgrounds, right? And you come from different places, different churches. Some people were not even born into Christian homes. They were born into fetish homes. Some homes that were completely atheist, they didn't even believe in God. And as you make your Christian journey, a lot of those beliefs that you've gathered over the years follow you. If you started off from a church that believed that you have to shout, badra, 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 it follows you. You just believe that that is how deliverance is supposed to be done. If you're in a church that's, no, you don't really believe in all this praying in tongues and making noise, you know, just make your money, you would be in a place where they're talking about healing and deliverance, and you'd be wondering, what are they talking about? There are pastors that believe that just have money. When God bless you with money, money answers all things. Are there people that believe that? So different backgrounds, all children of God, right? I'm not condemning anyone, but different backgrounds affect how you believe. Ultimately, your belief is formed by the combination of circumstances and situations that have happened to you in your life. In the past couple of Sundays, Pastor John was talking about the life of virtue. And one of the things he mentioned was ginosko, and how that it's something, it's a type of belief you gather from experience. So if all of your experiences have been negative, it's a reinforced belief that makes you believe that things have to be in a certain way before it gets good. Some people believe that other people are enjoying, when it gets to my turn, things always go bad. Then you change it to generational curse. But beliefs that you have carried along. One of the things that you must do is to continue to guide your heart so that you don't gather beliefs that will make your life difficult. You will be a Christian. You will serve the Lord. You will walk with God faithfully. But because of beliefs that you have lined up in your heart, things begin to become more difficult for you. And the devil is all too happy to help you reinforce those tough beliefs. Pastor Emmanuel spoke a couple of weeks ago also about liberty from captivity. And I really do hope that all the messages that you've heard the pastors here preach, you've taken time to listen to them over and over again, because they all come together to help you get yourself grounded in what parts of the Word of God that you need to be able to move forward. And so many people have gathered all kinds of beliefs that help them. For a number of years, I used to work in a bank, and I noticed that there were some customers that when they come into the banking hall, the systems, electronic systems, I don't have any spiritual thing going on, they go off. And the person will say, every time I come to this bank, system is always down. I will say, sorry, sir. They will try. As soon as the person leaves, everything comes back up. See, this person's village people are very strong. They even turn off server. But beliefs that you have gathered, you have made up your mind that things will not work. Even in financial systems where things don't require your village people to work, you step in, everything shuts down. Beliefs that you have gathered, you need to gradually and steadily dig yourself out of such positions so that things will be better for you. If you've gathered friends that always tell you how life is supposed to be in a certain way, cut them off. If you have family that always tell you that in our family, this is how things work, you need to choose.
It got to a time, Jesus' brethren, he brought his mother. He said, your mother is here. He said, anybody that is not of the household of faith is not my mother, it's not my father. If you don't get to that point, you're not ready to break off some of those things. You can run from church to church. Hey, pray for me. Lay hand on me. Pour oil on me. Anointing oil, olive oil, anything they pour on your head. It will not work because you have gathered and reinforced your belief. What do you believe? In this case, the text we just read, Jesus was walking, and the Bible says that he was hungry, and he went to a tree, hoping that he would have olives to get from there, and the olive tree had nothing. And he said, from this day henceforth, nobody will eat from this tree, and walked away. They came back the next day, tree was dried up. And the disciples are like, Master, how? Look at the tree you caused. And Jesus responded and said, have faith in God. Have faith in God. And it doesn't just happen. It's something you build constantly. I remember back then in secondary school, there was such a, it was in Benin City. And for those of you that know Benin City, it's a city that is known for its, what's the word? Fetishness. It's known for, and then in school, we used to have boys that were so confident in their belief. Why? They would say, if they want to fight you, they will remove their shirt first and throw the shirt in the air, and the shirt will hang. Why are the people from Benin? Why are you guys looking at me as if I don't know? Right? They will throw it, it will hang, and they will beat their chest. They believe in the thing that they've gone to go and do. And even before the fight, when you see shirts hanging in the air behind somebody, that the person you want to fight, you will start calming down. If you were angry before, you will start explaining. Say, I don't really like this thing you are doing. I'm just telling you that it's not good. But that fight will leave your body. Why? You have not fought. You have not tested his energy. It's because his belief has been projected on you that he's more powerful than you. And that is a tool of the enemy. He always, always will make you believe. And guess what we have now? We have this wonderful device that does almost every app, almost everything now is backed up by artificial intelligence. And a lot of people are scared of it because they're like, oh, this AI thing is too much. It's not magical. It just has a simple thing that's called algorithm that gathers, helps you gather everything you believe electronically and feed it to you. So if you're the kind of person that believes that everything is hard in this country, your phone will gather every post, everything about hardship, and be showing you. So the moment you open your phone in the morning, you see people bending down, smoking. You know those people that smoke on the bus stop and they're like this? That's the first thing you will see. Then you will see accident on I-17. Ah, you will see trouble here. The next thing you hear that Trump has arrested 200 people. Ah, your phone is helping you reinforce your belief. That's how AI works, right? So even in simple things, your communication. The question is, what have you believed? What have you believed so much so that it has taken you captive? The one more thing I'll say about belief is, please, I beg you in the name of God, stop transferring your unbelief and fear to your children. Stop it. Because children are a blank slate. I was walking into Walmart a few weeks ago and I saw a completely white family, completely white, with a tiny little one-year-old baby. She was playing and screaming. Black, white, not even in the middle. And as they pushed the cart out of Walmart, the tiny girl looked at me and smiled and said, Daddy! For a second, I was like, what? I looked at the father looked at me, looked at our skin. I said, thank God this child is not black. If not, the mother would have explained many things today. But we looked at ourselves and we smiled. Why? Because that young baby doesn't know what is white, doesn't know what is black. As far as the baby is concerned, this person is built like a man. This has to be somebody they call daddy. And she smiled. As I walked past that child, I cried. Tears came out of my eyes because I'm like, how do we now program children to the point that they become bitter and angry? Do you know what else you program into children? Fear.
Be very careful, oh. Things are very tough out there. As you go to school, be careful. As you go out in the night, be careful. And the child is now walking like this. And guess what? Animals smell fear. The devil smells fear. When you release that child to school, to college, and the child is trying to be careful with everything, that child becomes a marked target. The devil doesn't play fair. Doesn't care whether you're a good Christian or you're a bad person. Doesn't care. If he sees the weak man, just like if you look at the world of the wild, when the lion wants to attack, the lion doesn't look at the animal and say, oh, this animal has been good. He looks for the weakest link and goes after that one. If you train a weak child to be afraid of everything, you go out in the night, you're afraid, you're looking back like this. The devil is smiling at you. No matter how much you have prayed on that child's head, fear has overtaken that child because the child does not believe. Careful the words you say to your children, because the people you're up against, they are different. I spoke about my high school. Then in Benin City, it was a boarding school. Some boys came to school, it was a random thing. And I noticed that they used to have two marks on their chest. So I thought it was just a random, you know, children hurt themselves, two marks on their chest. And one day, we're talking about it. And the guy said, the reason why we are so confident, the reason why we, well, we boys, we see gun and we carry our chest, is because of these two marks. So what is in these two marks? They said, that's how they cause. So their parents, before they send them to school, have taken them somewhere. They do their rituals. They put the two marks. And guess what? They used to steal the confidence. They lined up against the wall and bring out a gun. Boom! And when the child sees that the bullet did not enter, that same child is coming to school with you. You are telling, be careful, oh. Be very careful. You know things are hard out there. And you stand. The guy is standing with confidence. He believes in what he's carrying. Your own child is hiding so that they will not corrupt him. A failed battle is what has started. Dear children of God, take time to infuse it into your children that they are children of the Most High God. Take time to let them know. Because if they don't, they will walk around in fear all of their lives. Next, speaking. Jesus also addressed it here. He said, for you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed. It means that no matter how much you believe in something, if you cannot speak, if you are not bold enough to open your mouth and speak about what you believe, you will still be a prey. Jesus was standing there, arrested, no disciple, nothing. And Pilate told him, said, do you not know that I have the power to let you go or to hold you captive? Jesus, that had been quiet since, he said, you have no power over me. Pilate was like, he looked at his back, looked at his phone, looked up, said, how? At some point, you have to be able to arm yourself with words, but not just empty confident words that you speak and put yourself in trouble. Words that are inspired by the Holy Ghost that's inside of you. I tell you a story. In the book of Acts, after Acts chapter 2, when they had opened up, they had received the Holy Spirit, they had gotten confident, and they were speaking in tongues. Peter had preached. 3,000 people had been saved. Peter tells John, let's go to the temple. They were walking. And as they were walking, the Bible says that he saw a man. You all know the story. He saw a man at the beautiful gates. He was begging for alms. John said, Peter, let's be fast. And we're going. And Peter starts to slow down. The Bible says he fastened his eyes on the guy. And Peter was looking at him. Now, the guy, this is not a crusade. It's not church. He's not expecting anything from Peter. He has no faith. No, sometimes they'll tell you that, you did not get ahead because you don't have faith. This guy, they had no faith. As a matter of fact, when he noticed that Peter was looking at him, he stretched his bowl. Said, give me something. Give me something. Now, give me something. Peter, being full of the Holy Spirit, was still looking at him. Then guess what Peter said?
minister did not go and say, excuse me, I don't know if you have time. Can I share the word of God with you? I don't know. The guy said, I'm busy, Peter. Shift, shift, shift. If you're not giving me money, shift. Bible says, Peter looked at him and he said what? Look on us. The audacity of Peter to look at a man that is in his workshop and say, look on us. But guess what? The Bible makes us understand that the poor, it is the poor, both poor in finances, poor in the spirit, poor in that make entreaties. That be every time they talk to you in your office, you're, yes, sir, yes, sir. You are known as the yes man. I don't want to offend them. The poor make entreaties. No confidence in your word. But look on us. The guy looked, said, ah, what's going on here? He said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, in the name of Jesus. The guy is looking at Peter. Peter says, rise up and walk. The guy is still looking at Peter. Peter is like, this guy is not hearing what I'm saying. He stretched forth his hand and pulled him. And as he pulled him, strength entered his feet. It means that there's sometimes, even when you speak in confidence, nothing happens. Why? You need to move and take an action to show that this is what I believe. See, there is a principle. I believe it's called the Mehrabian's theory. It suggests, now it has been contested, the percentages have been contested a lot, but I mean, it's a theory that this guy has put forth, that only 7% of your words is encapsulated in communication. When you are saying something, only 7% of those words is useful. It's in the entire sphere of communication. 38% is your tone, how you say it. And 55% of it is your body language. Somebody calls you. And you know, Christians, we formed a, oh, let me not say anything that you now need me to speak, work against me. So we formed a way of communicating. Now, answer me honestly. If you call me, boom, 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 and I peek, I say, hey, bros, how are you now? I say, I'm strong. I'm very strong. What have I said? What will you do? You will ask me, what's wrong? But I did not say anything. Well, I'm strong. Right? I remember when I first came into this country, a few days after that, I had pneumonia. I could hardly breathe. I could hardly say a word. Because, is that where I want to be saying I'm strong? Or is that where I want to be explaining it? So daddy was always praying for me. You are healed in Jesus' name. So I know that when you are down, you can't be, you're not strong, you're just struggling. But how you communicate how you feel by your body language, by your beliefs, by the things that have been in, it far exceeds how you say it. Some people, they will be in a conversation, discuss, Nigeria is finished. Nigeria. Trump has, after you're finished discussing all the negativity, you now say, it is
well.
That it is well is empty and dead. Something called dead on arrival. There was no need saying it. Because you have to change your communication. And back it up with your body language. The Bible makes us understand that when David went into the camp of the Israelites, saw all of them running, hiding in shame, he said, who is this guy? He didn't just say, who is this guy, then gather stone and go and attack him. The audacity of David, he went back to the king to go and negotiate. The confidence that he had that he was going to come back and marry the king's daughter, he already knew. He wasn't going to go and say, hey, Saul, something I've been thinking of. Saul, I've been like, I beg, leave there. When they told him, go and sit down, you're a small boy. He said, hold on. When I used to keep my father's sheep, a bear came along and I slew the bear. A lion came along. Do you think he was saying this much more? He said, Saul, let me. He would have chased him out of that place. My sister told me a story many years ago. She was on a bus, for those of you that know Lagos, she was on a bus from Ikeja to Egbeda. And sometimes in Lagos, as a city that it is, When there's traffic, the buses will not get to the bus stop. They will go to where the traffic stops and drop everybody. And you guys will trek like half a mile to where you are going. Anybody? They will stop you in the middle of the road, turn back, and everybody come down. So the conductor say, "Pole, pole." They've not gotten to the bus stop. "Pole." And everybody came down. My sister was there. She came down too. And one guy, calm young man, sat down in the bus. "Pole." The guy didn't answer. "Pole." And he said, "Oga, you are taking me to the bus stop." The guy said, "You are taking me to the bus stop." The conductor is furious, runs to the back of his bus, brings out the crossbar. "Sir, I'm a brigade, come down." And the guy looks at the conductor and says, "You no fit." The conductor first dropped the crossbar. He said, my Ibo near, you police looking for trouble. Oh, yeah, everybody enter, let's go." If that guy did not gather the courage to tell that guy, "You no fit," they would have trekked, all of them would have trekked to the bus stop. Sometimes you have to gather the courage to tell the devil, "Sir, you no fit." When they start coming at you with different things. Pastor Yato said it last Sunday. One of the things that angels don't like, one of the things that defeat angels, is when you, that they are guarding, that they have given instruction to make sure that God's word comes to pass in your life, when you start talking fear. Just 2 years ago, when I came here to this country, USCIS this, USCIS that, you have to apply for this, you have to fight for that. Every day I was praying to God. And I remember that day clearly, like it was yesterday. He said, "Can you stop talking to me about this matter?" I said, "But God, I need help." And he said, "You are talking, it's not that you need help that is the problem. You are talking as if you are sending me to go and beg them." This is God sending me to go and beg someone that, as he's eating burger now, I can just shift the burger to one side of his nose and it has choked him and he's dead. You are telling me, "Oh God, please help me, help me." Just say the word, speak it. What do you want? Say it and move on. Sometimes, see, there's a difference between faith and faithfulness. There is a difference between faith and faithfulness. Faithfulness is that you are praying every day, "Oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord." You are going to church every Sunday. "Oh God, I've come." And many people carry this in their prayer and say, "God, oh, hey, I've served you for this long. I've not missed Sunday service." That's, it's not faith. You can be dying in your faithfulness, and yet your faithfulness is good because it helps you build the strength. It helps you build the consistency. But it is still not faith. At some point, you have to get out of cowardice. You have to get out of crying and begging. When you, do you know that even when you say the name of Jesus, that's how you say the name of Jesus, that there's no answer because of the fear in your voice. You are in a car, and all of a sudden, something happens. A truck is about to fall on your head. "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." What's that? All the angels are embarrassed on your behalf. You are talking like someone that has never seen the hand of God. The Bible makes us understand that when the children of Israel, they got to Jericho, they looked at it. Oh, wonderful city, big city. They did not start sharpening swords. They did not start preparing. They didn't start doing push-ups. They started dancing and singing around it. I'm sure those guys will be like, "These people are completely mad. They are dancing. Okay, let's see." And they stood there with their arrows. After they finished dancing, was there a fight? See, imagine if they went there and they say, "Oh boy, this Jericho tall, oh. Will he have come down?" When you face challenges and you approach it, I don't know, God. And you carry that thing into your prayer and God is looking at you like, "Who is this one? Me that a cattle on the tower, a thousand, he belong to me. You're asking me for one small thing, you're making all this noise? Me that at the blast of the binocerous, this Red Sea parted, you are here asking me for this small thing. You want to buy a small house, a small car, you are making all this noise? What do you believe? How do you carry yourself when you are approaching?" He said, "Therefore, we come boldly with confidence to the throne of God." Not be making entreaties. Not be fear. Asking God in doubt. When you speak like a confident man. Do you know that if you are going for a contract, a business, or whatever it is that you are going for, imagine you are going you are trying to get an approval to go into a business or anything, or you are going for a sponsorship. You walk into a multinational company, and you walk in, and you and your staff are like this. Wait, don't stop. You have lost it. Will they give you any money? They say, this one that cannot carry himself, you want to give him $10 million. You go home with your lack of confidence. The people that go for contracts, they are not as big, but they hire big SUVs, good-looking flashy cars, latest cars, wear borrow suits, just to go and stand and look like they represent what they're asking for. So it is in the realm of the spirit. If you're going to cast out, a few years ago, we went for an office CSR, that's Corporate Social Responsibility Call, right, in my office. And we decided that, we're going to go to hospitals to go and help people that needed, you know, support financially to pay their hospital bills and all of that. And we got to the hospital. We spoke to them. They took us from bed to bed. And we were paying, you know, very good behavior. If you do that, that's wonderful. You go to prison, you help people, come to the food pantry, that's good. But as we were going from bed to bed, we met a guy. His daughter was crying. And they said, this one is on life support or oxygen. And that was the last oxygen in the hospital in Apapa in Lagos. And they said, when the oxygen finishes, the guy is going to die. That's why the daughter is crying. My colleagues stood, how much can we give them? And the girl said, I'm not talking money. Even your money is useless here. Note, this is an office event. We did not pray, we didn't fast to go, office event. But there and then, as the Spirit of God began to well up on the inside of me, I told them to hold on, told all my colleagues to shift back. And it was around COVID period, so people were still wearing their nose masks. I took off my own nose mask. They said, you're in the hospital. Move your, where you? I took off my gloves. Because in this matter, it's not nose masks and gloves that is saving me from all these things, right? So I took off clothes, and the office boy looking at me like, what's this guy trying to do? And I stepped forward to the guy, and I put my hand on his chest. I said, in the name of Jesus. First of all, my colleagues shift back. This guy is something. And I said, you believe. And the guy held my hand. Someone that has not moved held my hand. And that was, and I said, you will not die today. In the name of Jesus. So what's his name? He told me. I spoke to him. Let him go. And I told the nurses, nobody should say that this guy is going to die. When your oxygen finish, remove it. Come here. Your father is going home with you. And we left. The reason why everyone was quiet was because of the confidence with which I declared my name of Jesus. Imagine if I went there and I was, this is very, very serious. So, but let me see if I can just pray if anything will happen. Would anybody take me serious? We had that event twice. Second time, we went out. As usual, hospital scenarios, we were doing all those kind of things. And we met a much more severe case. The guy they had put, those of you in the medical field, what he uses to pass the feces on him, there was blood inside. They were sure that this one is going. And the worst part, what offended me in that visit was that they were not treating him. I said, why are they not treating him? He said, because he has not paid. If you are still taking life lightly because of money, money will fail. And the day money fails, you will be without defense. There's much more than what money can do. In carrying the fullness of the presence of God. And as I prayed for that young man, again, wear your nose mask. Well, it will infect you. It will infect me right now. As the Bible says, being full of the Holy Spirit, remove all those things first. I went close to the guy. I said, what's your name? Mashud. Do you know Jesus? No, I've been Muslim. Mashud, you are going to die today. Do you know Jesus? He said, yes. Led him to Christ, rebuked
the devil and we left. 5 minutes later, his whole family is chasing us. Hey, he has stood up. See, there is power in this name of Jesus. You need to carry it like you are sure of what you are carrying. You cannot be carrying it like a beggar. I want you to go back to work. And you have that colleague that has, you know, is maybe he was a veteran. They shot his leg. He walks around with you. Be like Peter. Be looking at him. Say, hey, Bill, how you doing? Bill is like, why are you looking at me? So I'm coming. Bill is like, I don't like the way you're looking at me. Say, Charles,
you're looking at me somehow. I say, yes.
Because today, see this leg, you will not go home. Until you start talking like that, nobody will respect you. I see a lot of young people looking for acceptance, looking for respect, looking for... Until you are able to boldly declare. One of the things I also experienced in university, there was a lot of, as at that time, there was a lot of people being initiated into cultism. Cultism here, cultism there was a problem. People were scared. Oh, be very careful to go to class. Year one, there were these boys that were begging. One person was blind, so they were leading him around. Year one, in a class of over 100 people, as they got to the front of me, I grabbed the guy, pulled him close to me, and I said, I'm not giving you any money, but you will hear me. They say he's deaf. I said, he will hear me. And I rebuked the deafness. I don't know if he got healed. But I know that from that day, everybody in my class, they're calling me pastor. The reason why they're harassing you where you are is because you are not talking. You are not talking. You don't need to be going from desk to desk. Tell anybody, you go to hello. You don't need to be doing that in your space. Don't let anybody bring any nonsense near you. You quickly talk. You say it loud and clear. There's a behavior of someone that is winning. One of the things I've seen a lot with our Arab people is that those Arabs come with confidence. They know they have money. See, that people are arguing with Donald Trump. Hey, Donald Trump, he said he's not going to... He visited... Is this Saudi Arabia he went to? They gave him a jet. Arab confidence. And you're complaining that he's abusing you. He will continue to abuse you because he's giving you. He that is giving is always greater than the receiver. Don't always be a beggar. Don't always be like that. Don't let begging be the first thing that comes to your mind. That's why David said, I've been young, but now I'm older. And I've never seen the righteous forsaking, nor his seed, begging bread in the morning or in the night. Have that mind in you. Have that mind in you. Lastly, I will talk about actions. And I've covered most of it already. After you have believed and you have started to speak, just like Peter, always back your words with action. Always. Always. Peter was walking on water with Jesus. And he said, Master, I am sinking. Just said, oh yeah, stop sinking. He stretched forth his hand and pulled him up. And he stood. If you are unable to put your actions to back your words, you are speaking empty words. You are speaking empty words. But there's a reason why. The Bible talked about it, and Pastor Augustine talked about it in his previous message, about Ezekiel and his vision as he got to the temple in Ezekiel 47, that there was water coming out for the threshing floor. And he said he was led to go forward. And as he stepped forward, the cubit was measured onto it, and he stepped forward, and the water and those in the temple rose to his ankle. Now, I would explain that a little bit to you. Have you ever gone to a beach or a pool that is graduated into the deep end, and you are walking? You can feel the water on your legs, but it's not carrying you. You can feel it. As you keep going closer, it starts rising. Then after some time, you start to lose your balance. The reason why you can come to church, go home, come to church, go home, is because you can feel the Holy Spirit touching you, but it has not carried you yet. So the things of this world are still holding you to the ground. So you'll be like, all these things, this part, just preaching. It's true. But you know, in this life, you have to be very careful because you are still firmly grounded to your daily experiences in this world. What do you need to do? You need to start stepping forward. You don't need to be a spiritual giant tomorrow morning. If you know that this is where you are in Christ, read one more scripture every day. Just one more.
Take one more minute to pray every day. Take one more moment to meditate on the word of God. What happens is that the water starts to rise until it gets to a point where, yes, you're in touch with your reality, your everyday reality, but you feel that the Holy Spirit is separating you from those realities and you start to touch divine life. See, when the apostles needed somebody or people to help them serve, they appointed how many deacons? 7 deacons. 7. 7 people, including Stephen and Philip. Unfortunately, we only know Stephen and Philip. Why? Because those were the ones that, beyond just serving plates, beyond just cooking, beyond just washing dishes, they were full of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says Stephen did mighty work. Stephen, some guys say, I've not had a chance to preach. I've not had a chance to, you are waiting for a chance to be here? Stephen was serving dishes. But every time he served those dishes, he put the plates, he said, are you having a headache? Healed in the name of Jesus. He did, stretch his hand, mighty works from serving dishes. Anywhere you find yourself, anything you find yourself doing, do it with power. Do it with passion. Put your heart into it and the Lord will find you. So much so. Talking about being found, there was one guy. He killed Stephen, killed. He was a terrorist, but the Lord had seen the passion in his heart. The Lord had said, this one, this one, this one. And as he was going to Damascus, going to go and kill other people, guess what? Guess what? Out of the 12 apostles, one killed himself, right? Committed suicide. What's his name? Judas. And they gathered and they chose another person to replace Judas. What's his name? I'm sorry, I'm stressing you guys, I know. Matthias. Do you know that after they anointed Matthias an apostle, we didn't hear anything about him again? He was just there. Apostle Matthias. He will see that in front. I'm the apostle, apostle, apostle. But a young man, he joined by Jesus calling him. He said, who art thou? I love Jesus. After Jesus had knocked him to the ground with a bright light, he said, who art thou? He said, I am Jesus. He didn't say, excuse me, Paul. I don't know if you have time. I want to talk to you about myself. I know I'm a very... The things that have been holding you down in life, you have to get to the point where you want to go and talk to your boss. Every day you're going to your boss and say, sir, do you have 2 minutes to help me? You know, this is my promotion. I need more money. He said, go away, go away. I had a boss once that said that as he sits down on his table, it was an open office, that from your footstep, he already knows whether he will answer you or not. And we said, how? He said, people that are afraid, they work much more. Come on, sir. Come on, sir. He already knows that you are wasting his time. Go. But he said, when he's hearing your footstep coming, he has not know what you want to ask for. He will stand up and say, yes, what can I do for you? Because confidence drags answer. It's a favor. Fortune favors the bold. Are you not tired of not getting anything done in your life because of cowardice? Are you not tired of not getting anything achieved in your life because you are afraid? If you want to achieve anything, you need to dust your suit one day. Even if you're not qualified for it, apply for it. Leave God to do his thing. You do your own small thing. Apply for it. Go for it. So, I've not got any questions. Go! Do you know that in most interviews, before you say a word, the people that are interviewing, you already know who they like? Do you know? You have not said anything. You just walked in. Somebody is saying, wow. See his courage. He does not know anything, no. See his suit. This person will be a good representative. You've not said a word. But you go with fear, they will use questions to kill you. I worked at a financial institution for 14 years. 14 years. The best job I got, most of the other jobs were hard labor, hard. Go to branch, open vault, ATM is down, running up and down. One of the best jobs I did, I was in an interview. Then I had my full beard. And the person that they say does not smile. That woman cancels everybody's interview. She just asked one question. She said, this is your beard. Is it natural? Did you dye it? I said, it's natural. She smiled. As she smiled,
Other people that they were not interviewing were telling me congratulations that this woman does not smile. I've not even answered any question. And truly, I got on that job. And I got on the job, I was feeling oppressed, intimidated, because all the people that were on that job, they were experienced salespeople, experienced this, experienced that. Man, I just came say, from branch care. What do I want to tell these people? But I remember the first few meetings I had, people were talking down on me. Say, okay, so you are who? I said, well, I used to be a head of operations. Did they vet you very well before they put you on this role? But no problem. It was just a matter of months. As at the day I dropped my resignation letter, I was already here, I sent it to them. The head of that department told my boss then that if this guy resigns, who else is in your department? Because sometimes it does not matter where you are right now. It matters what they say, oil is on your head. If you have God, David was looking like a riffraff. Imagine how you talk about racism in this country. Imagine how the children of Israel felt when they were leaving Egypt. Slaves. 400 years slavery mentality was still in their head. But they were leaving Egypt, afraid of everything. Go and look at the land. Ah, they will kill us. So, well, by the time God had finished with the same people, the noise, the sound of Israel is coming. Teacher, till today, Israel, as small a nation as they are, nobody wants their problem. So it's not how much education you have gathered. Sometimes your education can be a cost unto you. Because you go for interview, they ask you one question, you answer 10. The person interviewing you say, this one will take my job. Boom, it's gone. So now you go for a business and you are talking. They say, this one is too arrogant. You are confident, but they say you are too arrogant. Because it is not the number of things you gathered in your mouth or what you put on your head. It is Christ in you that is the changer of hearts. Do you understand what I'm talking about? He said that the heart of a king is in the hand of God, and he turns this any direction he would. There is absolutely nothing that God cannot change about anybody that wants to say anything about you. You have something that God has proposed to do in your heart. Get up and do it. So I've been thinking of this. Stop thinking about it. Get up and do it. Have some audacity. A friend of mine said, if people have not asked you, how dare you say this thing that you are not ready? How dare you? Imagine Moses, go and stand before Pharaoh. Pharaoh was like Donald Trump today. He was God in his own right. Pharaoh went before him and said, let my people go. Just imagine if, Pastor, sir, just imagine if Pastor Augustine goes to Donald Trump today and said, the Lord said you should leave all the immigrants alone. Donald Trump will be like, you are who? That was exactly what happened. People that were supposed to be enslaved, Moses is telling him to leave them alone. Ah, the guy said, this guy must be joking. Leave each. I beg Moses, go. But as it was said in his word, every plague that Moses sent by the spoken word of his mouth came to pass. Pharaoh had to ask him, please call the guy back. Sometimes, even when you display courage and speak the word of God, people will laugh at you. It's okay. People will say, this one is not serious. You are too small. Who are you? What's your qualification? Are you a pope? Are you a bishop? Are you a reverend father? Just speak the word and go. When the word of God takes a hold of that person, they will stand for you. They will stand for you. The Bible makes us understand that they took Daniel and cast him in the lion's den. Daniel was in the lion's den, his king that did not sleep. The king was awake all night. In the morning, he started running there, shouting, Daniel! How do you trust somebody in the lion's den overnight? And you're shouting his name. The king was the first believer. The king knew that this God of Daniel, he won't let him go. And Daniel said, oh, king, live forever. King said, calm down. Leave. I knew that you're God. Have you ever put yourself in a position where people will come back and say, I knew that you're God? Sometimes you have to open your mouth and speak. So people will come and say, I knew that you're God. When men are cast down, you need to be the one that will lift them up. I said, don't worry. Everything seems bad now, but by tomorrow, let them laugh at you and say, tomorrow, see this company is in debt tomorrow. Don't worry about it. So that when you go to bed at night, you go and put your knees to the floor and say, Lord, I have spoken a word. I have spoken. And because I'm your son, and this word is in line with your word for me, it will not fall to the ground. If you haven't gathered that kind of boldness, you will not make the kind of strides and success you need to strive to have in this life. Am I talking to somebody? The Bible makes us understand.
In Isaiah 49 from verse 15, he said, can a woman forget her sucking child? Her son that draws nourishment from her body. He said, don't you forget. I, the Lord, will not forget. I, the Lord, will not forget. Do you know that the name of the Lord continues to remain a strong tower for who? For you to run into. But if you never run into it, how will you be safe? If you never run into it, how will you be safe? Do you know that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all? If you are safe, though, let's not look for trouble. How will you see the affliction they will deliver you from? I love how Bishop Idahosa. Bishop Idahosa said, at some point, I start praying for trouble because I need God's attention. And it's my present help in time of trouble. So at that point, your prayers start to change. You're praying at night. I say, oh, Lord, let me not see any problem. Let me not see any problem. All these people are looking for my trouble. Let them not come near me tomorrow. I blind their eyes. I blind their nose. When will you gather courage? When will you gather courage? If they look at you, they should see Jesus. If they look at you, they should see someone that they should be afraid of. I had some trouble at work many years ago. I was so scared. I called a friend of mine. I didn't call him. I took a bike from my office to his house. I said, this my guy wants to kill me. They're threatening that they will sack me. They said, who is it? And the guy looked at me. He said, Nathaniel, what are you saying? Have you forgotten all the things that God has done in our lives? Have you forgotten? There was a time when we were in Ibadan. Me and this same guy were walking by on the road. And we saw a girl that they were doing deliverance for. About 7 people were praying for one girl. And she was dragging them. Come out. And we were holding her. And we said, what are you doing? They said, that the demon is very, very strong. I said, please leave her alone. If we leave her, she will beat all of us. She will beat you. Am I the 7 sons of Sceva that they want to beat? Leave her alone. And they left her. And as she took 2 steps in front of me, I said, sleep. And she fell to the ground. I said, David, over to you. David rebuked that devil. They woke her up. Where am I? Where am I? Sometimes you need audacity. Stop manifesting fear. The devil can smell it. You can be talking in the name of Jesus. But when fear is written all over you, the devil can smell it. You are out and they are shooting and or something goes wrong where you are and you are trying to find a child of God. You carry the Holy Ghost and you are hiding on that table like a beggar. Gather some audacity, my friends. There's more in you. Greater is he that is in you. That's he that is in the world. Paul said, in all these many things, said, nay, in all these things, ye are more than conquerors. He said, ye are of God little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He said, for your light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for you a far more weighty, heavy substance of glory, looking not at the things which are seen. For those things you are seeing, they are temporal. But the things which are not seen, but those things that we don't see, that the ones that have weight, are the ones that are heavy. And that's the one that does not change. That's the word of God in you. If you believe that, can you say amen? He says, some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. He will not leave us. So for your light affliction, see all these things you're suffering, it causes light affliction. It's but for a moment. It will go, it will fade away. Whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that we have, even our faith. Says, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover his thee with his feathers, and under his wings shall thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy defense. He said, Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by noonday, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness. He's listing all the things that happen today. He said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Sometimes you need to be like that worry boy that will say, see, you know, feet. Stand to your feet. Talk, now talk. I've been teaching my kids that people that are fearful and cowards, they die 2 times. They die of fear. Then they die of what wants to kill them.
If something is going to harm you, it will still harm you whether you're afraid or not. So why not start talking your way out of it? Open your eyes. Tell the devil that it's not going to happen to you. Tell the devil that it is not going to happen in my house. See those kids? Tell the devil that it's not going to happen. They will not be taken captive. It's time to talk. Open your mouth. Start speaking for yourself. It's been way too long that you have been faithfully going through trials, faithfully going through temptations, faithfully struggling on the left, faithfully struggling on the right. That one person that said, I don't like you. That one person that don't like you is holding you to ransom? No way. You got to open your mouth and start talking about these things. I'm not complaining up and down. I'm not making entreaties. Excuse me, I want to discuss with you. You know, you're not really like me in this office. I don't know how we can make peace. Make peace!
Dear Lord Jesus, give us the grace to be able to line up our words with our belief, that we will not cower in fear, but they have the courage to stand against adversity and speak life into those situations. In the name of Jesus, give us the ability to back our actions, back our words with actions, so that we will stop being taken for granted. You're a young man in school. You're a young woman trying to go through high school, college, university, whatever you call it. The reason why you are still not in force to reckon with is because you have not started speaking the word of God and speaking it out for all of those around you to hear. The reason why your office people are still taking you for granted, they are still turning left and right, saying, begging for promotion, begging for added money, is because you have not started talking confidently. There's more to you than being ordinary. There's more to you than being a weakling. There's more to you than being that person that just, oh, he just came, oh, he's black, oh, he's not a, forget about those things. The Lord himself is with you. He will not leave you, he will not forsake you. Open your mouth and declare. Declare boldness to your children, to their families. If you have kids that are unmarried, no matter how young they are, pray for them, pray for their future, pray for the spouses that will come into their lives, because one wrong spouse can derail your whole family forever. Pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for all our young people. Every young person that walks into this building, pray for them. John says, I write unto you, young men, because you are strong. Pray for our young people, that strength will enter into them.
And the angels cry.